This is Marketplace Weekend. I'm Lizzie O'Leary.
Like it or not, many of us spend a lot of time at our jobs, and work is its own weird universe, full of rules, both written and unwritten, which is why we bring on Allison Green, who runs the site Ask a Manager, to talk about life, work, and life at work. Welcome back, Allison.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, so this month we are talking about job searches, what's changed, what the new normal is, all of that. From your end, what are some of the biggest changes you've seen in the past few years in terms of how people approach looking for a job?
I think in terms of how things have changed, a big one that candidates need to brace themselves for is that hiring often takes a lot longer than it used to. More companies are taking months to hire. I mean, certainly some still hire quickly, but it's increasingly common for the process to be really lengthy. People will sometimes hear back from companies months after they initially applied, or weeks will go by before they hear anything back after interviewing. And part of that is that there are often a lot more steps than there used to be. There's phone interviews before you meet in person. There's multiple interview rounds with a larger number of interviewers. There's requests for presentations or take-home assignments. So the process, I think, for a lot of candidates has gotten just longer. So it's smart to start early. If you know that you're going to need to be in a new job 6 months from now, start now. Another one, I think, is how the internet has changed things. Nearly all job applications have to be submitted online these days. We're a long way from the days when you would mail in your resume. If you remember that special thick resume paper that we all used to use. Yes. I don't know if anyone's buying that anymore, because today nearly all jobs will direct you to apply online. In some cases, you might have to go through a system that makes you disclose a lot more information up front than you might want to, like your salary history and your references and other information before you can even submit your application, and long before you get to talk to a human.
I have an internet-y question. Does social media history count when you're looking for a job these days?
It certainly can. Yeah, pretty much anything you put out on social media is fair game for an employer to assess.
Let's think about sort of the building blocks of looking for a job. You know, the resume. We talked about it. How much does it still matter? And what's changed in terms of resumes in our very digital world?
It matters a lot. I mean, a resume is sort of the core of your application. It's where you're saying, this is what I've achieved. So it's important. The conventions around resumes have changed a lot. If you remember that old-fashioned objective that everyone used to have at the top of their resumes, those are pretty outdated now. You don't see those much anymore. Same thing for that old-fashioned one-page rule. You used to be told that your resume would get thrown out if it were longer than a page, and that's really not true any longer. It's pretty common to see two-page resumes these days, as long as the person isn't right out of school. So there's been some relaxing around that kind of thing. I think you used to see very wordy resumes with these big blocks of text. You want it to be easy to skim, because hiring managers aren't going to read it word for word. They're going to skim. They're going to make a decision quickly. So you see a lot more bullet points and plenty of white space.
All right. So you're bringing me to our first listener question. This is from Jordan Kirchhoff, and I'm going to just kind of let it play and we can talk about it.
I've been job hunting recently, and I have one big issue I can't seem to get over. I've heard again and again, most systems only search through your resume for keywords that match the job requirements. If a real person looks at your resume at that point, it may only be for 5 or 6 seconds. That is a far cry from the days in which you could walk in and ask for the manager, look him or her in the eye, shake their hand, and really display enthusiasm for the job. Is there any way to recapture some measure of that old-world human interaction in today's digital competition? And if not, is there some technique to get eyes on your resume besides just copying and pasting from their job description?
Okay, so I want to break this down a little bit. The first thing is sort of, is Jordan right? Like, are computers doing some of the, like, yes, 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 no heavy lifting here?
Some of it. But I think this people picture this as being a heavier part of the process than it is. It's true that a lot of employers do some automated screening at the start of the process. They might have a system that will automatically reject you if you don't meet certain requirements. So good hiring managers and good recruiters, they're not relying on computers to do the bulk of the screening. It's more of an aid in the process, but it's not the main thing driving the process, which is what I think people worry it could be.
But if you're feeling sort of, I guess, disconnected from the screening process, how can you get more people to just look at you and evaluate you?
I think people want to find... I hear people talk about gimmicks all the time that they use to try to get their applications noticed and to try to stand out. The real way to do it is pretty boring. I mean, you stand out by having a resume that shows a strong track record of results in the area that they're hiring for and writing a compelling cover letter that explains why you'd excel at the job and being responsive and friendly when you're contacted. That's really it. It's such a boring answer, but that is what good employers still do respond to.
Is there any type of work where you can still do the kind of walk through the door, you know, maybe a first job, a retail job? Does that still work?
In food service and retail work, sometimes you can apply in person, like if it's a small business. But if it's a big business or a chain, they're actually likely to tell you that you need to go home and apply online. And that's a real change from like 10 years ago when those industries were still taking applications from people who walked in. For more office-y type jobs, no. I always hear from readers whose parents haven't job searched in a long time and tell them that they need to go out and pound the pavement and hand out their resume in person because it'll show gumption. It doesn't really work anymore.
It sounds like my father. Yeah.
Right. This is the parental advice. It doesn't work anymore. It comes across as annoying and naive because it's just not done.
I want to move on to sort of some of the later stage process questions. So let's say, you know, you've gotten some interviews. They want to talk to you about a job. You're getting pretty far in the process. We had a listener who goes by AP who wrote this in. Any recommendations on dealing with the perennial, what do you make now from the HR screener? On one hand, I know they don't want to waste their time if expectations are out of sync, but on the other hand, I'll never know if it leads to my getting lowballed. My instinct is to say, I don't think my current salary is relevant as this is a different position. Here's the range I'd be expecting given these job possibilities, given these job responsibilities. But taking this track, I was once accused of being uncooperative and told that all the other candidates revealed their current compensation. What are you trying to hide? This listener goes on to say, I can't wait until this becomes illegal to ask in Massachusetts next July. But until then, any suggestions?
The best way to do it, if you can pull it off, is to answer the question that they should have asked you instead, which is what salary you are looking for now. So they ask what you've been earning. You can say something like, you know, I'm looking for a salary in the range of X. A lot of interviewers will accept that and not keep pushing. Some people will keep pushing. And if you run into that, you can say, you know, I've always kept that confidential, but I'm seeking X. Or in a lot of cases, if you look at your old employee handbook, you're going to see that your company's salary structure is actually considered proprietary information. And so you can honestly say, you know, my employer considers their salary structure confidential, which can be hard to argue with. But it's a bad question, and it puts candidates at an unfair disadvantage. And I'm hoping we'll continue to see the tide turning against it.
One of the last times we talked to you, we talked about dressing for work. Dressing for interviews, how has that changed? Do you still wear a suit? I had an interview suit. Do I need one anymore?
Maybe. So it depends on your field, and to some extent, it can depend on your geographic area. More often than not, yes, you still need the interview suit. But there are fields where it's really relaxed, parts of tech, parts of design. But even then, it can vary from region to region. So it's one where you really need to know your field and your area. But if you're not sure and you can't ask someone in your field, default to wearing the suit.
Okay. So let's say you have gone through this process. What about follow-up? Again, I have my father's voice in my head saying, write a handwritten note and call 2 weeks later. What's appropriate now?
Do send the thank you. I would not send it through postal mail anymore. That used to be the advice because it was considered somehow more formal. These days, I say send them through email because postal mail can actually take a while to... Yeah, because think about... You've got the inbox in your office. Someone dumps your postal mail in there every so often. A lot of people let it sit for weeks because people get so little useful info in the mail these days at work that a lot of people don't even open it. So I've heard from hiring managers who finally go to open their mail and they're sitting there looking at a stack of thank yous from candidates from 3 months ago. So send it an email. People will see it. You know, it's business correspondence. It's fine to use email for that these days. But don't call. Unscheduled phone calls can be really annoying to hiring managers. They're probably juggling multiple candidates. They don't want to field phone calls from all of them. So send an enthusiastic email, reiterate your interest in the job, and then leave it at that.
And if you don't hear back?
If you don't hear back and you have been interviewed, the best thing to do in your interview at the end is to ask them when you should expect to hear back, because that way you have a built-in reason to get in touch if that timeline passes and you haven't heard anything. So if they say you'll hear in 2 weeks, you don't hear anything, let another week go by, check in. So you're just wondering if they have an updated timeline. But don't keep checking in. The problem is that so many employers these days don't get back to people after interviews, which is really rude, but it's really common too. They know that you're interested. The fact that you showed up to interview and that you sent a follow-up note indicates you're interested. At that point, it's in their court and you've got to kind of sit and wait for them to make a move. Really, the best thing to do if you can pull it off is to mentally move on in your head. Assume you didn't get it. Let it be a pleasant surprise if you do hear from them.
If you have three kind of secrets of modern job searching that you think our listeners should know, what are they?
A big one is to realize it's not enough to just be qualified for the job. I think a lot of times people think all it should take to get an interview is showing that they meet the core requirements in the ad. And then they're confused and frustrated when they don't get interviews. But you've got to remember, there could be hundreds of applicants who meet the qualifications and the employer's not going to interview all of them. So it's really important that you have a well-organized resume that clearly lays out a track record of achievement in the areas they're hiring in, and that it makes it easy to see what you did. An engaging cover letter that doesn't just regurgitate the contents of your resume, but really fleshes out who you are. That's the stuff that will take you from qualified to potentially a great candidate who they're going to call. Another one, I think, is to not fall for job search gimmicks. There are a lot of businesses trying to make money these days by selling gimmicks that promise that they'll make you stand out, professionally designed resumes or video resumes or all sorts of other flashy gimmicks. Most employers don't respond to those, and they can even turn off some hiring managers. Keep your focus on the fundamentals. I mean, it can feel very boring, but that is really what will get you jobs. And then I think last, it's so important to remember that the hiring process is a two-way street. You should be evaluating the employer just as much as they're evaluating you. I think when you're job searching, it can be really easy to get so caught up in wanting the offer that you forget to think about whether it's a job that you want and would be good at, and is it a manager in a company that you want to work for, and would you be happy there? So getting the offer is not the ultimate goal. It's getting an offer for a job and at a company that are really good fits for you.
We're, you know, almost 10 years out from the financial crisis, but a lot of people went through layoffs or underemployment or, you know, times in their professional life that they weren't happy about, that didn't feel good. How do you deal with that in a job search, either on a resume or saying to an employer, well, I wasn't working then, so I took a class or whatever it was? You know, how do you deal with those painful moments?
Yeah, I think it's important to remember that there's sometimes people feel like there's going to be a stigma around that they were laid off or that they were unemployed or underemployed for a while. Your hiring manager, your interviewer is human and has probably has loved ones who have gone through that or has gone through it themselves. I think there's not the kind of stigma around that there used to be and that people fear that there might still be. So I think if you can be matter of fact about it, both in your own head as you're thinking about it, but also as you're talking about it, people will take their cues from you. So if you sound matter of fact and upbeat and not like you think it's something shameful, people are likely to respond accordingly.
You can read more of Allison Green's workplace advice. You can just check out our website, marketplace.org. And if you have other questions for Allison, she's a regular guest for us. We are weekend at marketplace.org. Allison Green runs Ask a Manager. Thank you so much.
Thank you.